We talked a lot on the parsha this week, but just for maybe a couple more nekudas to discuss on the parsha. This week we mentioned in the Chumash here that was a very busy week with regard to shuls opening, shuls being allowed in, not allowed, how many people in, depending on what you hold and different opinions. It was a lebedika week. It was a busy week, and in my shul personally, we were almost ready to go in. Jake, I think you'd appreciate this. We had a Rabbanim's meeting in Queens, and they put on the video on the Zoom Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld. We got to hear Divrei Chizik from him. It was a special treat for all us Rabbanim to hear from one of the senior Rabbanim. Baruch Hashem is still...
I'm sure it was.
It was something special to hear him give Chizik and give his opinion to what we should do as the Rabbanim in Queens. But
what was his opinion?
He thought we should try to get back to davening. Again, safety, of course, first. But he was, he was discussing the importance of davening. It was a real pleasure for anyone that knows him. I know, Jake, you knew him well. You could appreciate a chance to see someone like that, just to hear from him, even for a few minutes. It was truly a special treat for us, Rabbanim. But in my shul, personally, we were almost about to go back into the shul, but then the last minute didn't work out because we're housed in YCQ, and YCQ decided they follow the OURCA versus the Aguda. But whatever the case may be, I told my Baal Batim in our shul, I said, I feel that this idea of almost going into the shul is Pshan and Rashi in the first Rashi in the parasha. Rashi in the parasha says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael, and he counts them so often, and he counts them when we put up the Mishkan. Says Rashi, and he counted them on Aleph Iyar. So we mentioned the Kash is, but the Mishkan went up Aleph Nisan. So why he counted them Aleph Iyar? So we explained, based on the Rishonim, that this was a trial run to see how Klal Yisrael was going to interact with the Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence in their life. And then Hashem will decide whether or not they're deserving of being counted. So I felt like this week was like a trial run for everyone. We've all been trying to desperately get back to davening with a minyan. And Hashem said, not so fast. I don't know if I'm ready for allow you into our Batei Knesiyos and our Batei Midrashos. Those buildings have intrinsic Kedusha. Your outdoor, your front yard, your porch, those are not Mekayimus Kedoshim. You can put a minyan there and say Davashe Bekedusha. But in order to have a real Mokim Kadosh, Hashem says, I don't know if you guys are ready yet. I'm not sure if everyone has learned the lessons that are necessary to be able to move back into the shul. I don't know if people thought about Kedusha's basic necessities properly. And therefore Hashem said, let's do a trial run. Let's see how for the next, whatever it is, 1 week, 2 weeks, however long it's going to be, where we're going to try to see how outdoor minyanim work. But really more, it's really more for us to see if we learned properly how to interact in a pokem hatfilo, how to daven properly, how to interact in our shul. And therefore, for many of us, it was a trial run. It was ironic because here in Queens, many of us had outdoor minyan, which was sanctioned by the Rabbanim locally over here. And by most of time, it basically downpoured. I don't know how it was in other communities, but it basically downpoured. And everyone had their own message of what the downpour was supposed to tell us. My wife was leaning towards the Mishnah in Sukkah. She was telling me she knows the Mishnah in Sukkah says that when it rains on Sukkah, it's a bad sign. It's like Hashem is trying to throw you out of the Sukkah. So she was suggesting maybe here also, when it rains, when you're having an outdoor minyan, it's Hashem's way of saying, I don't want your outdoor minyan. I don't want you to daven outside. That's why he made a pour during Musaf. It actually poured so heavily by us here in Queens. We were under porches, but the rain was so heavy we couldn't hear the Baal Tefillah. So we had to apply last week's halacha shir about waving a hand in the air to know what bracha he was up to so we can answer the different brachas that are necessary. But I don't know if that's necessarily the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I don't want your tefillah, or maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I want you to work harder for your tefillah, but that I'll leave up for the professional darshanim to try to figure out what the message was supposed to be from the fact that it poured during our outdoor tefillahs yesterday. In any case, there is an important message for all of us as we get closer to getting into our shuls. And I think we really have to ask ourselves, and again, this might be not so politically correct, but I'm just going to say it anyways. I think we have to ask ourselves, why do we want to get so bad back into shul? Is it because we really miss Tefillah B'Tzibur? Or is it because going back to shul is just another way of saying that this coronavirus is past us and we want to return to normal life? I'm skeptical that many people, it's not so much because they miss davening with a tzibur and they miss being in the shul, it's because they just want to get back to life as normal, regular. Davening is part of my schedule, it's part of my morning routine. And when we make decisions like that, we're really not making proper Torah decisions. In the last pasuk in this week's parasha, the Torah tells us that the Levim have to be so careful not to cause death upon themselves, not to do things that can cause them death. And Mr. Yosef Sharma has a whole idea, and Rav Pam used to discuss this at length. what's called, a person has to measure everything he does and figure out if what I'm doing is really a fruma cheshbin, or so to say, is it really a kruma cheshbin. Many times in life we make very big decisions, we call them frum decisions. But very often we have to ask, are they really a frum decision? Is it really rooted in Torah? Is this really what Hashem wants? Or this is really what I want? And to me it feels good, and to me it feels right, and therefore I'm going to decide it. Pam gives an example of a Rebbe who shows up late to class. And his reason for coming late to class was he was saying Tehillim. He was davening long. So Pam used to say, that's not right. You have a job, you get paid to be here, you have to be here. You want to say Tehillim, you say Tehillim on your own time. You daven at a different minyan. These are examples of what we call frumah cheshbonos. So I think many people during this entire time who were desperately trying to daven with a minyan and making illegal minyanim and doing things that are illegal against the law, against the rabbonim, to me this is mamish, this idea over here. It's a frumah kruma cheshbon. It's not because you really value to. If you really value to be because Hashem said so, so you'd listen to what the doctors tell us, what the rabbonim tell us. But if you're going to have an illegal minyan in your basement, you're going to have an illegal minyan in your backyard, you're not serving Hashem, you're serving yourself. You're doing what's best for you. You're doing what makes you feel good. You're doing what makes what's enjoyable for you. That's not avodas Hashem. So I think it's something we all have to ask ourselves, to be fair and honest. When we all get to go back together, let's ask ourselves, are we really thrilled to go back be'etzem? Or we just like, whatever, it's part of routine. It's back part of being, you know, normalcy of our lives. How do you know the difference? You know the difference when you get back in the shul, you act differently. If when we get back to shul, we act the exact same way we were before, then we totally miss the message. Then this is just another way of saying the world is picking up again, we're getting back to normal. But if when we get back into our shuls, we have a whole different chashivas. I met a fellow yesterday. He told me that when he said Baruch Hu for the first time, he cried. First time saying Baruch Hu in over 2 months, he cried. I was taka very inspired by that. I thought that was very, very moving. Yet I see people come to Outer Minyan, they're already playing on their cell phones. Someone called me last night. He told me he was at an Outer Minyan on Shabbos. A bunch of young kids showed up with the ice coffees in their hand to davening. Mamash, we learned nothing. We mamash learned nothing. It's like business as usual. We picked up nothing from what this lockdown was all about. It hurts me. It boggles my mind. We need to learn the messages that we can't continue the way we were. And I think we all have to ask ourselves, myself included, are we excited to go back to shul just because this way we get away from the house, break from our kids, step out of the house for an hour? Are we really because we miss being in a Makim Kaddish? It's a very, very heavy question. And I think these next 2 weeks, for those of you that are having outdoor minyanim legally, of course, everything has to be done kedas or gedin with the sanction of your local rabbonim. I think we have to ask ourselves, what about am I missing? Some people's shul was a social event. It was interacting with their friends and catching up, which is beautiful. Not during davening, you do that after davening, you do before davening, but not during davening. So we really have to do some serious introspection to figure out where exactly we felt like we're lacking and what we're missing. Rav Asher Weiss pointed out in his parsha share this week, a Gevaldik Har, which I never thought of, but I think it's very, very insightful, as always. Rav Asher Weiss pointed out that in last week's parsha we discussed the jobs of the Levim. And this is my addition, but overall, everyone always looks at the Kehanim as, they're like the main people in the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan. Then the Levim are like, background music, Lahavdil. They don't get on the same Chashivas as the Levim. But Rav Asher Weiss pointed out that the Levim had two very important roles. He says one role was that they used to be the Mishayrim. They used to sing in the Beis HaMikdash. And the other job, they used to lock up the Beis HaMikdash. They were in charge of closing the gates and locking the gates. So Rav Asher Weiss pointed out a beautiful analogy. He said, in every Jewish home, we all have to be Levim. In every Jewish home, we have to make sure that we're locking out in our home what we don't want in. We have to make sure we lock our own home. Today, we allow everything in. We have to make sure what we allow in. And he said, we have to have Mishayrim in our homes. We have to have song in our home. We have to have happiness, laughter, excitement. And we talk about, why are kids looking for other places to find enjoyment? Because their homes are just not a happy place. People feel like their homes have to be miserable and depressing. You have to have simcha in your home. You have to have happiness. You have to have simcha, the mishayrim. And therefore, point that Rabbi Asher Weiss, these two roles of the Levim should be in every single Jewish home. You have to have someone who's locking the doors to make sure what comes in and what comes out. You don't want everything from the outside into your home. And then said Rabbi Asher Weiss, you have to have mishayrim. You have to have happiness. You have to have, in my house, you come to my house, we play music a lot. My kids like to dance. Keep it lebedik, freilich. Keep the kids happy. Keep them excited about something, especially in a time like now where everything is so bleak and so depressing. Have a little enjoyment. But I was thinking, to add on to what Rabbi Asher Weiss pointed out, maybe that's the two roles in a family is a Kayan Levi relationship. Perhaps the man's job is more the Kayan's job. We know the Kayan did the Avoida. And the Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash encapsulated three things. Torah, Avoida, Gimel, Chasadim. So maybe, again, obviously I don't mean to say that women can't do these three things, chas v'shalom, but predominantly these three roles are done by the man, but who holds them in the house? Right? A husband is a bal chesed, but how does that stay in the house? How does it get absorbed into the children's DNA? Through the levim, through the wives. The wives are the ones that ensure, they protect what goes in and what comes out. And I think very often the women are better at this than we are, about creating a happy environment, about creating a joyous environment. The mishayrim atmosphere is perhaps created more from the women than the men. But I think in the generation that we live today, Baruch Hashem, where we have grandparents and grandchildren are much closer than I think in other times. Baruch Hashem, today with all the technology that we have, I think grandkids talk to their grandparents much more. Baruch Hashem, many of us are lucky to have grandparents live near us and to interact with our grandchildren. And as we come to the Yom Tov Ashuas, I think we all have to ask ourselves that if we want to produce future dairis of B'nai Torah and wonderful girls and wonderful boys, it no longer takes just parents and yeshiva. It takes grandparents as well. Many grandparents are very involved in different elements of their grandchildren's life, whether they get to daven together, whether they get to take them to yeshiva sometimes, even babysit when there's help needed. There's many different roles today in producing wonderful children. I think as we come to the Yom Tov Ashuas, we all have to ask ourselves, where do I fit into that scheme? For many of us, it's a Zoom. We get to Zoom with our children, FaceTime with our grandchildren, talk to them over the phone. That's important. That builds their wholesomeness. That helps them grow to be wonderful B'nai and B'nai Bas Yisrael. But we all have to realize we all play essential roles. All of us, in all of our families, whether with our children, with our grandchildren, we all play very important roles in producing Dairis, a future B'nai Yisrael. So I think it's worthwhile to reflect on this as we come to the Yom Tov Shuas. Talk about Kabbalah Satayr, you may say to yourself, well, I don't learn as much as I could, or I don't learn as much as other people do. It's irrelevant, because you're all playing essential roles in building the future Dairis of Klal Yisrael. As a parent and as a grandparent, the impact that you have, that you can change and mold in a healthy, positive way through the different ideas that we mentioned, whether it be through the simcha, it's a lot easier for the grandparents to have an upbeat attitude because they didn't stay up all night with the babies. It's a lot easier for the grandparents to have an upbeat attitude because they don't have to deal with PTA and report cards and when the kids misbehave. So that element can come from the grandparents. But it's such an important thing. We often quote from Rabbi Soloveitchik. He used to bemoan the fact that there was a break in the generation between grandparents and grandchildren. There should never be a break. There should always be a continuation of grandparents and grandchildren interacting with each other, talking to each other, growing from each other, learning from each other, learning together. One of the greatest schosim is if someone can learn with his grandchild, even if it's over the phone, even if it's over Zoom or FaceTime. It's a great schos. And as we come to the Yom Tov Ashuas, let's all find and appreciate our roles in not only our own Kabbalah Satayr, in our family's Kabbalah Satayr, in the future Dairis of Klai Yisrael's Kabbalah Satayr. It's a really, really special role we all feel, we all fill, and we all are a part of. Today's learning should be a refuah shalema for Yechiel Yoina ben Esther, who had a surgery on Friday. And Mr. Hashem, I hope he's recovering and he should have a refuah shalema gemura, as well as B'serich Shechali Yisrael that are still suffering from corona and from other ailments as well. David, are you on this morning? David's not on this morning. Okay. As well as the other chaylim that I usually mention, which I did not write down. David usually fills me in on them. Okay. Today's shiur is going to be a special shiur devoted to Limud HaTorah and women. As we come to the Yom Tov Ashuas, we talk about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So I wanted to speak a little bit about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah vis-a-vis regarding women. Now, what does that mean regarding women? So we know like this. There's a first source is the Gemara in Kedushin of Chavtes and Mebeis. The Gemara in Kedushin tells us Chavtes and Mebeis, this is the famous sugya that talks about all the obligations that parents have to their children. So one of the obligations that a father has to his child is to teach him Torah. I would like to discuss in a few weeks, I need a little bit more time, to discuss that obviously if a father has an obligation to teach his son Torah, so that makes a whole question about whether or not he's allowed to use Meister money for tuition. But we'll have to discuss at a different time, are grandparents obligated to pay for their grandchildren's tuition? Right, for you grandparents, I don't know if you want to hear that cheer, but it's a big discussion, and we'll have to get to it from a halachic standpoint, and some of the tuition boards have already beat me to it, and they already called up the grandparents and mummed them for tuition, which is not pashut. But the question is, one of the obligations of Talmud Torah, the Gemara says, is two generations, maybe even three generations. We'll have to talk about it, Belina Edda one day. And the Gemara says that maybe a grandfather has to teach his grandson Torah also. Oh, so if a grandfather teaches his grandson Torah, so then if the father can't afford tuition, so maybe you can go to the grandparents and get the tuition from them. But that will leave off. I wanted to talk about it before Shavuos, but we ran out of time. We'll talk about Belina Edda a different time. So the Gemara says, Lam the Torah, how do you know a father has to teach his son Torah? So Gemara says, it says in the Torah, Belimadetem oisem es benech. It says, you should teach your sons. But when the father did not teach his son, the son has to teach himself. Which means, if Nebuch, for some reason, a father cannot send his son to a yeshiva, he cannot educate him, it's not an excuse for the son. The son has to go learn it independently. How do you know mom doesn't have to teach the son Torah? How do you know mom doesn't have to teach and educate the son? So the Gemara says, "D'chsev ulimaditem, ulimaditem." So there's machlokes Rishonim how to learn the Gemara. We're just going to go with Rashi just to keep it simple. Rashi says there's two psukim. There's one pasuk in the Torah that says ulimaditem es b'neichem, you should teach your son. Then there's another pasuk that says ulimaditem oisam u'shmartem, you should teach yourself. So the Gemara says like this: Kol she mitzvah lil moed, mitzvah lil amed. Anyone that has a mitzvah to learn has a mitzvah to teach. The Kol she ain a mitzvah lil moed, and anyone that's not obligated to learn ain a mitzvah lil amed does not have to teach. So the Gemara is comparing these two psukim to each other. We're comparing the mitzvah of learning Torah to the mitzvah of teaching Torah, and we're saying if you have a mitzvah to learn Torah, then you have a mitzvah to teach Torah. If you have no mitzvah to learn Torah, you have no mitzvah to teach Torah. The Taisa Rosh learns the Gemara differently. The Taisa Rosh learns it's a svara. What's the svara? If I don't have a mitzvah to learn, right? How can I teach that I don't know? So if I have an obligation to teach you, then I have an obligation to learn. But if I'm not mechuyev to learn on my own, then I can't be obligated to teach you, because how can I teach you that I don't know? So at this point, the Gemara feels that a woman has no chiyev to learn or to teach. How do you know women don't have to learn Torah on their own? How do you know women don't have to sit down and have a mitzvah talmud Torah tichsev? Because it says in the pasuk, "V'limadetem ulimadetem." We're making the same comparison. Kol she'acher mitzvah l'loim doy. Anyone that's obligated to teach them mitzvah l'lamed esatzma has to teach himself. V'chol she'ein acher mitzvah l'lam doy. Anyone who's not obligated to be taught by others ain mitzvah l'lamed esatzma. He has no mitzvah to teach himself. So then we're going both ways. We're saying, if you don't have to teach, if you don't have to learn, you don't have to teach. And if others don't have to teach you, you don't have to learn yourself. How do you know others don't have to teach women? So what do we have over here? We have that since fathers don't have to teach their daughters, and we have a rule, that has to be taught has to teach others. And therefore, if I'm not obligated to teach to be taught, I'm not obligated to teach others, and therefore I'm not obligated to learn on my own either. So this is the whole source in the Gemara that women don't have a chiyuv of Talmud Torah. It's interesting. It's a little bit of a cheshbon over here how the Gemara concluded that women have no chiyuv of Talmud Torah from the fact that that fathers don't have to educate their daughters, and from the fact that we learned that if you don't have to educate others, they don't have to teach others. And if they don't have to teach others, they don't have to learn. So, chagadja. Final result is women have no obligation to either teach their sons Torah or B, learn Torah on their own. That's halacha l'maaseh. That's the end of this Gemara. What we will, b'li neder, I hope, discuss next week is, good, they don't have to, but can they learn? This whole Gemara just told me that women are not obligated. Fine. So a girl doesn't have to learn. My son wanted to know why the girls' school is closed on Sunday, but he has yeshiva on Sunday. So I told him, because girls have no mitzvah Talmud Torah. I told him, I'd rather think they should be open on Sunday, but that's a discussion for a different time. But they don't. They don't have a mitzvah Talmud Torah. So therefore, they don't have to learn more than whatever they feel is necessary. As opposed to boys that have a mitzvah Talmud Torah, it's more complicated. Now, does that mean a girl can't learn Torah? Absolutely not. We'll see in a second that she could learn. What we need to discuss, a little bit more controversial, as a Mirsa Shem next week, I hope, is what can a girl learn, and what can you teach and learn with your daughter and your wife, perhaps. I wanted to get to it before Shavuos, because for many of us, our chavrusas are going to be our wives and our daughters. My wife offered to learn with me Shavuos night. I turned her down. I don't think it's going to be a good chavrusha shaf. But in any case, we'll have to discuss that after Shavuos B'Nedr. Now, simple reading of this Gemara leads us to conclude that what? Women have no mitzvah in Talmud Torah. They're excluded from the mitzvah Talmud Torah. Just like women are excluded from mitzvah Seishas Mangroma. Right, we know women are exempt from time-sensitive mitzvahs, even though Talmud Torah is not a time-sensitive mitzvah. V'gis v'yom v'lai, it's a 24/7 mitzvah, but they're also excluded from this mitzvah. That would be the simple reading of this Gemara. Now, if a lady is not mechuyev in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, can she do it? Yes. The same way she can shake a lulav, and she can sit in a sukkah, and she can do all the mitzvahs that she's not obligated. She can also learn Torah, but she's technically not obligated to learn Torah. That would be the simple reading of this Gemara. However, there's one problem. If you look at number 2, there's a Ramon Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Rama writes the following. Sok the Rama. Umikom okay. Chayeves o isha lil moidinim hashaychem li isha. A woman is obligated to learn the dinim that are relevant to her. Sok the Rama, that even though a lady doesn't have to learn Torah and she has no mitzvah to learn Torah, and there's parts of Torah she's not even allowed to learn, but there are parts that she's obligated to learn. She must learn. What are those? Dinim hashaychem li isha. She needs to learn how to keep Shabbos, and she needs to learn how to make brachas, and she needs to learn Tash Mishpacha, and she needs to learn Kashrus, whatever Din Mashaychem Leisha are. Then the Ramah concludes, V'isha ina chayevas l'mod es b'natar. But nonetheless, she still doesn't have to teach her son Torah. That was our Gemara. When we call Mokam, I quote this in the Chumash, and now you can see it inside. Im ozeres l'bno'a l'bayla, she's asking b'Torah. If she helps her son or her husband learn Torah, choylekes char badai, she splits the reward with them. So again, we mentioned that in the Chumash, we'll talk about it a little bit later today, that women do have a very, very important role in Torah, that is helping the learning happen. But in any case, this Ramah seems to be implying what? That women do have a chiyuv Talmud Torah. They have a chiyuv not to learn the broader Torah, they have a chiyuv to learn specific parts of Torah. They have to learn Hilchas Shabbos, Hilchas Brachos, whatever they teach in the girls' high school is exactly what they need to learn. They don't need to learn Yevamos, they don't need to learn Lamdas, they don't need to learn Rabbalaz the Mila, they do need to learn the things that they need to know. So the simple reading...
Rabbi,
yes.
If a mother would teach her son all the things that she's mechuyev in, like kashrus and Shabbos, why shouldn't he get the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and she also?
Oh, okay, good. We're going to talk about that today. That's what we're going to break down today, hopefully. You're understanding this Ramah. The Ramah comes from the Ogur. That when the Ramah writes that a isha has a chayev to learn the dinim, what type of chayev is that? We'll call it as a chakira. Is it a chayev in Talmud Torah? Or is it a chiyuv in mitzvahs? Meaning, I have to do mitzvahs, and the only way to do mitzvahs is if I know how to do the mitzvahs. So the learning is not the etzem Talmud Torah. The learning is what we'd call a hechsher mitzvah, lekiyam ha-mitzvah. So how do you learn this Ramah and Shulchan Aruch? So the simple reading of the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, one would conclude that the Ramah is saying like this, even though we just learned in the Gemara Kedushin that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, that's the broader Talmud Torah. That's the general mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of Kol HaTorah Kulu. But they have a Paratius Chi of Talmud Torah to learn Dvar Mashayachim Lahem. Now, on the basic level, that would be against our Gemara. Our Gemara made it sound like women are completely removed from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and here the Ramah seems to say otherwise. Says the Gra on Shulchan Aruch, where did Ramah get this from? Says the Goyin, it's a little small print, he writes, Mimash Ekosov Chagigo Gimel Amen Aleph. That the Ramah got this din, that women have to learn the dinim that are relevant to them. He got this from a Gemara Chagigo Gimel Amen Aleph. Then he goes right there and he says, Noshim Ba'ois V'ayin Tois V'Soy Tesham Devar Maschel Benazai. So we'll look at the sources that the Vilna Gaon quotes. So let's go to number 4, the Gemara Chagiga, famous Gemara Chagiga. The Gemara tells us in the parish of Hakel. We know in the parish of Hakel, the Torah tells us, Hakel Es Ha'om Anoshim V'Anoshim V'Hataf. The uniqueness of the mitzvah of Hakel was that everyone came. Men, women, and children. The Gemara asks the obvious question. Im anoshim ba'um lilmoid, if men came to learn, noshim ba'ois lishmoya, women came to hear. V'taf loma ba'in, why did the kids come? They meet in schad levi and to bring reward for those who brought them. This is a very important Gemara, because what does the Gemara change? The Gemara says, men came lilmoid. Now, why did women come? Lishmoya. Lishmoya what? To hear what? So Tosfos writes in two places. First we'll go to Tosfos in Saita, then we'll see Tosfos in Chagiga, because that's what the Vilna Gaon sent us to look in. Number 5, Tosfos in Saita, Tosfos tells us, so Tosfos number 5, Yushalmi, there's Yushalmi, the Ben Azai, the Loi Kibbalaz Ben Azai. There's a very famous sheet of Ben Azai, which we'll talk about whenever we discuss the issue of women in Talmud Torah. There's a sheet of Ben Azai. Ben Azai holds women have to learn Torah. That's a sheet of Ben Azai. A father must educate his daughter. And he has an interesting svara, because the Gemara says that we know there's such a thing called the soita. And we know that when the soita drinks the water, either she implodes, or she eats a school to have more children. However, the Gemara says there's something called schos toira toile, meaning she might get a delayed effect if she has certain schosim. So Ben Azai says you have to teach your daughters toira so they know this halacha. So we don't want what happens if chas v'shalom, your daughter becomes a soita, she drinks the water, she thinks she beat the system. He didn't beat the system, because there's a din called Tzchos Toile, that if she has certain merits, it can delay the death. So therefore, says Ben Azai, for that reason, a person has to teach his daughter Kol HaTorah Kulu. That seems very strange. You don't have to teach a kol teir kula. You could just teach her the one din. Okay, but neder, we'll have to get to it. But says Taisvis, Yushalmi de ben Azi de loy kabel azi de dorish hakel es ha'om anoshiv anoshiv ataf. Says, but ben Azi disagrees with this gemara chagiga. Why? Because it says lilmoy bo lilmoy noshim l'shmaya v'nira the pirish the mitzvah l'shmaya anoshim k'dei sheyadu l'kayim mitzvah v'loy mishum sheyadu sheschos toilem. Says Taisus, what do you see from here? That the only reason why the women came was not to learn Kol HaTorah Kula, like Ben Azai said, they should know the din of Schos Taila. You know why women came? Lishmaya, Lishmaya what? Says Taisus. To hear what? To hear Kidei Sheyodu Lekayim Mitzvah. Zokt Taisus, like the Ramah. The reason why women came to Halka was not to learn Torah. That was the men. The men came Lilmoid. The women came strictly Lishmaya. Lishmaya what? To hear? To know what to do. So again, according to this Taisus way that the Vilna is setting up, it almost sounds like the Chiyuv might not be a Chiyuv in Talmud Torah, but it's a Chiyuv in Kima Mitzvahs. They came not to learn Torah, they don't have to learn Torah. They came so they should know how to fulfill Mitzvahs. And that's Kimat Mefurish, more Mefurish, in Taisus Chagiga. Taisus Chagiga says, Noshim Lishmaya, Omar B'Yushalmi, Deloikim Ben Azai, Deomer Chayiv Adam Lilmoid Labita Torah. Ben Azai is of the opinion that you're obligated to teach your daughter Torah. This Gemara holds you're not chayv to teach your daughter Torah. I said, then why did the women come to Hakel? Because there's no chiyuv Talmud Torah. There's merely a chiyuv to know what to do. It's not a chiyuv Talmud Torah. Now, if you accept
Rabbi,
yes.
What is there? Can we just say that Lishmoa is a different type of learning?
Oh,
and that
good. What type of learning? How do you want to break it down? How do you want to define it?
Maybe without a chavrusa. In other words, the way we learn, you can learn with a chavrusa and it's back and forth. Maybe with women, we should say that it's more just taking in and...
Okay, but you want to suggest, and I'm not saying it's not right, you want to suggest that even Taisvis might still mean that women have a chiyuv of Talmud Torah, albeit on a smaller scale.
Yeah.
Just those things they need
to. Oh, good, good. I was hoping I was convincing everyone the other way, then the rest of the show would be very hard to sell it. But let's assume the other way, like many of you are feeling, that they have a real chiyuv Talmud Torah, but a limited chiyuv. Meaning, men have a chiyuv Talmud Torah to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. We have to learn every Kiveger and every Rajba and everything we can get our hands on, but women don't. They have a chiyuv Talmud Torah, but limited. What's it limited to? Let's call it halacha l'maisa. Men, we have a chiyuv to learn everything. That's why our Sunday morning shiur, which is usually not halacha l'maisa, is of course a chiyuv in Talmud Torah, because we're learning Torah. Everything is inclusive in Torah. But for a woman, that would not be the case. They're only mechuyiv to learn. Again, I'm saying mechuyiv, not what they can and can't do. They're only obligated to learn halacha l'maisa. Fine, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Now, if we accept that notion, so what do you do with the Gemara and Kedushin that we just learned? So you have to say that the Gemara and Kedushin meant women are exempt from the broader mitzvah of Talmud Torah. They're still obligated in the smaller. The kasha that I have is, if that's the case, so why don't women have a chiyuv to teach their sons what they have to learn? And why don't fathers have to teach their daughters what they have to know? When the Torah exempted fathers from teaching their daughters Torah, that was only the broader things. So you don't have to teach your daughter all the lumdus, but you got to teach her basic halacha l'maisa. So if you have to teach her, she has to learn, she has to teach the son. So it should come out, back to the Gemara, it should come out, halacha l'maisa, if this Ramah is correct, then not only do women have a chiyuv to learn halacha l'maisa, they have a chiyuv to teach their sons that, and dad has a chiyuv to teach their daughter that. We'll have to see if that's correct or not. Now, keeping with this Ramah, let's take a look at the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch number 6. The Mechaber writes in Hilchos Birchas HaTorah number 6, Chayiv Noshim Mivareches Birchas HaTorah. Women make every single morning the bracha of Birchas HaTorah. Now, why does that seem to be funny? Because we spoke about this last year. I definitely don't remember. Maybe someone else does remember. We spoke about this year at length last year about what exactly is the lomdus of Brichas HaTorah. We get up every single morning. We make the brachas. Asher Kedushon Alasim with the Viseira. Asher Bacharbon. A beautiful two brachas. We'll talk a little bit more about it today. But what exactly are those brachas? So the assumption would be, we'll talk about this in a few more minutes, that they're considered what we call a Brichas HaMitzvah. There's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Every mitzvah before I do it, I have to make a bracha. So the Birchas HaTorah is my Birchas HaMitzvah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now, if that's the case, this mechab is very difficult to understand. We just got finished saying that women have no chiyuv in Talmud Torah, so why are they making a bracha on the thing? They're not mechuyivin. The same way a lady doesn't have to make a bracha on something she's not mechuyev in, why would she make a bracha on Birchas HaTorah? Now, if you look in the Beis Yosef over there, in that halacha number 7, Beis Yosef quotes from the Ogur, who writes, B'shem Ari Molin, the Noshim of Orechas Birchas HaTorah, women talk about Birchas HaTorah, they're not obligated. And not only that, there are certain parts of Torah you're not even permitted to teach your daughter. That's only by Torah Shabbal Peh. This is all Bli Neder our next year. But Torah Shabbal Peh, you're allowed to teach your daughters. Even though the nusach of the bracha seems to be implying Torah Shabbal Peh, to which women are not allowed to learn, we don't change the text, and women are allowed to make that bracha. The bracha is going on the reading of the karbonis, utfilah keneged karbonis, and since tfilah corresponds to the karbonis, tiknum, vehen chayevet betfilah, and therefore the chayev in davening. So therefore, v'imkin chayev is gamkin bekriyas ha'oila v'akarbonas. So therefore, they're obligated to read that part of the davening, and therefore they're allowed to make birchas ha'teira on that. But I want the last pshat. Says the Beis Yosef, the kol shekin the divrei smag shekosov she'anoshim chayev es lumen hadinim ha'shaychim lahem. Says the Beis Yosef, if you hold like the smag which we saw quoted by the Ramah, that women do have a chiyuv talmud Torah, albeit on a smaller scale, so then it's very geschmack why they make birchas ha'teira. They make birchas ha'teira because 100% women have a chiyuv talmud Torah, smaller than men, more limited, but the chiyuv is still there. And therefore, says the Beis Yosef, since according to this women have a chiyuv talmud Torah, without a doubt, women are mechuyev to make birchas ha'teira. So everything is very geschmack, says the Beis Yosef. We understand.
This is part of the Beis Yosef, which we toss by Mitzvah Seichel Rama, that will make a bracha.
Very good.
He has a big problem.
Very good. We're going to get there in 2 seconds. We'll see that cash in a few minutes. Yeah, that's going to be a big issue over here. Now, if you assume, Kipshutai, that the reason why women are making a bracha is because they're taka mechoyiv in Torah, so it's very geschmack. Even the mechaber that holds women don't make a bracha on a mitzvah, that a mitzvah they're not obligated in, but they are obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, on a lower scale, smaller scale. So if you hold like this smack that we saw from the Ramah, and that's basically what the Beis Yosef seems to be saying, it's very everything geschmack. You know why women make a bracha on Birchas HaTorah? Because we have the smag. The smag, or called the Ramah, that holds women are mechoyiv in Talmud Torah. Since women are mechoyiv in Talmud Torah, they can make the bracha. Not only can they, they're mechoyev to. What's the lashon of the mechaber? Noshim mivareches. They have to make the bracha. Why? Because they are obligated in the midst of Talmud Torah, like anyone else. So far everything seems to work out very nicely. There's one problem: the Vilna Gaon himself. The Vilna Gaon himself writes the Vilna Gaon in number 9 on this halacha in Shulchan Aruch Chesimim Mem Zayin. Says the Vilna Gaon, I do not understand this mechaber for the life of me. He writes, there are many problems that I have with this understanding that women make brichas ha'teirah. He says, says the Vilna Gaon, you forgot a Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara says in Kedushin that women are potter from being taught Torah, and anyone who's potter from being taught Torah is potter from learning Torah. So, if women are part of from learning Torah, how can they make the bracha? How can they say those words? Now, 1 second. That's the Vilna Gaon talking. Didn't the Vilna Gaon just tell us earlier that women have some form of chiyuv Torah because they go to hear Hakel? Wasn't that the Vilna Gaon trying to explain the above mechaber and Shulchan Aruch? Here, the Vilna Gaon is saying absolutely not. Women have no chiyuv Talmud Torah whatsoever. So therefore, says the Vilna Gaon, and therefore they cannot recite the bracha, the tzivonah, because it's just not true. So says the Vilna Gaon, Elo ikra mishakosvu shar ha-poiskim, the noshim of arechas al kol mitzvah seseisha as man grama. Says the Vilna Gaon, I'll tell you pshat in the mechaber. Do you know why women make the bracha on birchas ha-teirah? Avad, the women have absolutely no chi of Talmud Torah whatsoever, based on our Gemara and Kedushin. So how can women make a bracha on birchas ha-teirah? The answer is because women can make a bracha on a mitzvah seseisha as man grama. Says the Vilna Gaon, the reason why a lady can make a bracha on Birchas HaTorah is because we hold women can make a bracha on a mitzvah say Shazman Grama. What's the only problem?
Why it's a mitzvah, why is it Shazman Grama?
I mean, a mitzvah that they're potter from. A mitzvah that they're potter from. I mean, just like a mitzvah that women are potter from when it's Shazman Grama, they're allowed to make a bracha. So here also, even though they're exempt from the bracha, it's a pella. The Vilna Gaon's plugging this into the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch. The Vilna Gaon is saying that the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch and Simen Mem Zayin that says that women make a bracha on Birchas HaTorah is what lamdus? Is the lamdus that you can make a bracha on something that you're not obligated in. But we know that's not the sheet of the Mechaber. If you look at number 10 in Hilchos Shofar, the Mechaber writes clearly, even though women are part of him Shofar, they're allowed to blow. V'chein acher sheyotza, v'chein acher sheyotza kvar yochel etkoyel etzien. Even a man who already yotzed the mitzvah, he could blow for the women. Aval einay mivarechet v'lo yivarchu lehen. But they never make brachas and don't make brachas for them. Why? Because the Mechaber paskins that women don't make a bracha on a mitzvah that they're exempt from. There are Moses, they do. So Frek Reb Shach, one second. How could the Vilna Gaon answer this for the Mechaber? But the Mechaber's shita is that on a mitzvah that you're not obligated to, you don't make a bracha. So how can the Vilna Gaon attempt to answer that for this Mechaber? As they Frek the Vilna Gaon. As they Frek Reb Shach. There's a famous brisker Rav, we've said it over many times, I even put it on the sheet. We've said this over many times because there's a stira in Rambam himself. Because the Rambam also paskins that women make brichas atayra, and the Rambam also paskins that women don't make a brach on a mitzvah shazman grama. So that's the very famous first brisker Rav in Hilchos Talmud Torah in the brisker Rav on Rambam. He quotes a pshat from his father, Reb Chaim, a very famous pshat from Reb Chaim. We've said it over many times in many different venues, how Reb Chaim explained that the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah is not a brach on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it's a brach on what we'd call the Chavtzah Shal Torah. Okay, later today we'll say even a bigger pshat from a different Gadol, but that's the famous Reb Chaim's pshat. Now,
Rabbi,
yeah.
We're ignoring the fact that the Gemara over there makes the differentiation between men and women, and says,
very good.
Shmaya,
very good. I'm not the base Halevi.
It's not just quantitative; they have less. It's
good. We're going to see on the next page. That's the base Halevi's big diuk, and that's how the base Halevi is going to end up learning the whole sugya differently because of that diuk. That the Gemara's lashon is very different. Men are lishmaya, women are lishmaya, men are lulmoid. Why the discrepancy? According to what we're saying now, it should be men are lulmoid and women are lulmoid, albeit lower level. So we'll see in a second that the Beis Halevi is going to end up turning the whole sugya on its face and he learns a different mahalach. In order to answer up some of these kashas, let's see another Shver Rambam. Let's see another Shver Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah number 11 the following halach. Zok the Rambam. Isha shalom de Torah. If a lady decides to learn Torah, yesh lo schar, she gets reward. Aval einoi kischar ho'ish. She will not get as much as a man. Why? Because she's not obligated. And anytime you do something you're not obligated, you're not on the same level of reward as the one who's obligated. You get a lower level reward. So what's the Rambam saying? The Rambam saying is that women are allowed to learn Torah, but they're not obligated to learn Torah. And when a lady learns Torah, she will get some form of a reward, albeit a lower level. Says the Vilna Gaon, number 12. This same comment of the Rambam is recorded in Shulchan Aruch, and there the Vilna Gaon makes the following observation. Says the Vilna Gaon, how did the Rambam know that if a lady decides to learn Torah, she gets reward? Because the Gemara in Baba Kama that says that even a goy, sha'oisik b'teira, hare who can go in Godel? Very difficult Gemara. The Gemara says that if a goy learns Torah, he can get reward. So says the Vilna Gaon.
Learns Torah is chayav misa.
Okay.
Or teaching Torah.
Teaching is the problem, right. Now, teaching is the problem. We can't teach them.
I'm talking about a guy who's on his way to being a
okay, right. We're not allowed to teach them. We had our entire Tuesday night share about this a few years ago, maybe months already, about teaching Torah to Goyim. It gets very sticky. Today with the internet, Goyim can log on to Wayu Torah, and there are Goyim who log on to Wayu Torah to listen to different shurim, so I heard. I don't think they're coming to listen to my shurim, but I know other people's shurim they have been logging on to listen to. It's a whole shayla. Sridi Eish wrote many tshuvas about it. Sridi Eish wrote tshuvas about teaching in colleges where you're teaching to mixed crowds. A lot of discussions about it. But says the Vilna Gaon, how do you know a lady gets schar? She gets schar because the Gemara says that even a goy, shalom ha-Torah, gets schar. Now what's the kash on the Vilna Gaon? Frek Reb Shach on the second page of Gevaldike Kash. Frek Reb Shach, why did the Gura have to write that? Why couldn't the Gura just write that the reason why she gets schar is because we have a din b'chol ha-Torah kula, kodom mitzuv yoyse mi she'ena mitzuv v'yoyse, and we know that that's how you know you get schar. Frek Reb Shach, why did the Goyin have to write, the way I know you get schar is because the Gemara says in Baba Kama that if a Goy decides to learn Torah, he gets schar. And we know a Goy is not mechuyev in Torah. So you see that even those that are not obligated but do it, get schar. Frek Reb Shach, a shtark akasha. Who needed that addition? If you would have read the Rambam on your own, and you would have said, how does the Rambam know? You'd say, because there's a rule, b'chol ha-Torah kula, that when you do a mitzvah that you're not obligated to, you get schar. That's the Gemara in Kedushin. Godel mitzvah v'oisa, yoisa mishena mitzvah v'oisa. So why over here did the Groth feel a need to add a raya from Goy? So Reb Shach has the teretz. Before we get to Reb Shach's teretz, I'd like to suggest the teretz. Usually I would say Reb Shach's teretz first, but because I don't really understand Reb Shach's teretz, I'll say a teretz which I think I understand a little better. Not to put my teretz before Reb Shach's teretz, chas v'shalom. I would like to suggest the following answer based on the yesoid that the Veltz is over in the Chassam Sofer. There's a mesaira in the family of the Chassam Sofer that women don't sit in the sukkah on sukkahs. They don't sit in the sukkah on sukkahs. Many, I know, I've heard some, even Hungarians adapted this minhag based on the Chassam Sofer, that a lady does not sit in the sukkah on sukkahs. Kasha, why not? Why shouldn't she sit in the sukkah on sukkahs? What's wrong with sitting in the sukkah? She doesn't have to. She's not obligated. But why can't she? So the way they say it over is like this, that we know that there's a klal called mitzvah seishas magrama noshim p'tur. Yeah, they're potter. Says the achroini, but if the women are potter because of the general rule mitzvah seishas magrama, so then we say that they're allowed to do it, then it's machloikis v'shon if they can make a brach. But if you have a special miyat akra, that the Torah went out of its way to specifically exclude a lady, that's a deeper, that's like the Torah is saying, not only don't you have to, I don't want you to do it. So I was thinking maybe here also. If the Torah would have just been talking about exempting women from Mitzvah Shehez Magrama, so then I hear, then if you want to tell me that even though they're potter and they can do it, then we would apply the regular rule. But over here, you can ask the Kasha. Over here, we almost have Xerus HaKosah that says, I don't want women learning Torah, or they're not obligated. So then maybe even if they decide to do it, they're Mufka from the Parsha. It's not just that they're under the banner of Zman Grama. This was Ke'ilu, the Torah wrote an explicit passage, I don't want you learning Torah. So if that's the case, so who says they get schar? Maybe they take a mufka from the parsha completely. They're completely removed from the entire concept of Torah, to the point that if they'll learn Torah, they won't even get a reward. So that's why the Rambam, that's why the Gra had to bring a raya from a goy. A goy is definitely out of the parsha, and yet when he learns, he gets rewards. So Kol Shekein and Isha gets it as well. I think that might be a way.
Well, why not say that by every mitzvah says she has Zman Grama?
No.
What's different here than or sukkah in specific? Why
no, because by sukkah, they want to tie in that there's a special meal from Ezrach, Lamaites, Anoshim. I mean, whenever you have a din, you have to ask yourself, wherever there's a din, where the Torah goes out of its way beyond the regular Zman Grama to explicitly be Lamait Noshim, then maybe we could say that the Taka Mufka to the point where they can't even do it as well. That's what I want to suggest, such a possibility. And Achreinim say this, it's not my Chiddush, Achreinim say this to be mazbe with that minig of the Chassam Seif. Okay. We'll leave the Aviezri for your own read. I have a hard time understanding exactly what he means, so I'll leave everyone to Shavuos night to figure it out with your wife, without your wife. You guys can figure out how to learn Reb Shach's teretz for this Vilna Gaon. But I want to move on to the Beis Halevi. The very geshmak of Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi writes this yisoid in two places. One is in the Hagdoma to the Beis Halevi, and one is Simin Vav in the Beis Halevi. Where the Beis Halevi has the same aura that Chaim Erlich had, he writes like this. Number 15. Vakati kosher. The Lama Amar Lishmaya Veloy Amar Gam Benoshim Debois Lomoy Mitzvahs Didu. Right now we're holding with a lot of kashas. We're holding right now. We have a Ramon Yeredeya that says women have a chiyuv to learn the Dvar Mashayichim Lahem. We have a Gemara in Saita that says that women. The Gemara in Chagiga said that women came to hear the mitzvahs, to hear something. We have a Mechab in Shulchan Aruch that says women make Berachas Atayro, and we have a Vilna Gaon who says no, women don't make Berachas Atayro. How can we make sense out of all of these above? The answer is based on a Gevaldig Yisoid developed by the Beis Halevi. It's also developed by the Minchas Chinuch. The Beis Halevi says like this: Elavadei digam mitzvah shenehegas behen ein behen mitzvahs Talmud Torah klal. Says the Beis Halevi. The answer is like this: that even though women have a chiyuv to know how to do mitzvahs, that's not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. To have a ba'anoshim. The ba'anoshim, when it comes to men, have a alim and mitzvahs, I'll say. Men learning Torah is a separate mitzvah. Ukamai nachas tefillin. Ukishaloimin mikayim mitzvahs, I'll say. When a man learns Torah, he's doing a mitzvah. The gam be mitzvahs she'eno ayin ba. Mikomok mechoyiv lumoid. When a man learns a random halacha that has no practical halacha l'maisa, he's fulfilling a mitzvah, I'll say, of Talmud Torah. And when a man learns a mitzvah that's relevant to his life, so he's learning. He's also getting a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Avol benoshim ein belimudom shum mitzvah klal mitzar atzmai. Their learning is not an independent mitzvah. Rak kedei rak asmag kosad b'komak mechuyovim l'umay mitzvah the neges behem. So what did the smag mean? I.e. the Ramah when he said women are mechuyiv to learn the mitzvahs they need to know. That's rak kedei shetei de'ech lekaimam. They just need to know how to do it. V'zeu de mechalik b'chagiga anoshim boim l'umay noshim bois l'shmaya. Says the Beis Halevi, that's the difference. Men have an independent chiyuv of Talmud Torah. Women have a chiyuv to know how to do mitzvahs. And the only way you know how to do mitzvahs is to learn Torah. But it's not an independent mitzvah. It's what we'd call a heksha mitzvah. Their learning Shabbos is for them to better be Mekayim Shabbos. Our learning Hilchot Shabbos is a key in the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. And he says it's
Megillah. So when a woman learns Hilchot Shabbos, is that a chelek of the mitzvah? Is she getting schar from mitzvah Shabbos? Or is schar from the mitzvah learning about Shabbos?
No, I think you could say it two ways. Either it's a separate mitzvah, not the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, or it's a heksha mitzvah to the mitzvah of Shemir Shabbos. I think you could say either one. I think the Chazinish might be mashma shtickle the first way I said it. That there's an independent mitzvah called learning things that you need to know. That's not Talmud Torah. It's a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. I would have said it a little differently.
She can learn without learning her Torah how to do things, no?
How she?
You don't have to learn Torah if it's someone to tell you how to keep Shabbos. Is that learning Torah?
So that's what the Beis HaLevi is going to say in Mamish 2 seconds. Says the Beis HaLevi, he said, Dahach l'shmoya, when the Gemara said l'shmoya, hainu, k'dei sheyudu ach l'kaimum. Aval halima ba'atzma, but the actual learning, loy have sho mitzvah klal etzla. Vim kvar bikia hi bedinim shalom. Let's say she's already an expert. So then, according to the Smag, there's no mitzvah anymore. So if her mother sits her down and tells her all she needs to know. What?
And how do you make a bracha?
Oh, good. We got to come back to the bracha issue, Lefizeh. According to this, it's very shvei, you justify making a bracha. Lefizeh, the Vilna Gaon is very logical now. Now we understand the Vilna Gaon beautifully. The Vilna Gaon's argument was, of course women have a chiyuv to learn dinim hashayachim lahem, but not under the banner of Talmud Torah, under the banner of Heksha Mitzvah. And therefore, when the Vilna Gaon got the Bechus HaTorah, he was amazed. What are you talking about? Women are mechuyev in Talmud Torah? Of course they're not. The two Vilna Gaons are l'shitase now. The two Vilna Gaons are beautiful. The Vilna Gaon learned our Gemara like this based on Levi. That the Gemara is saying that women have a chiyuv not in Talmud Torah, they have a chiyuv in Yediyas HaTorah. And therefore, whoever says the Vilna Gaon, avada, they have to learn it. Now, it's a little interesting. In my humble opinion, the Ramah should have wrote this not in Hilchas Talmud Torah. He should have wrote it in Hilchas Mitzvahs. Because according to the Ramah, according to the way we're learning the Ramah, it's not a din in Talmud Torah. It's a din in Heksha Mitzvah. It's a little bit in the wrong place. Again, it's not a kasha because the Ramah was discussing what men do, what women do. But Lefi Zeh, according to this Alevi, the point is that this is not a Torah Mitzvah. This is a Mitzvah Bifnei Atzma. Therefore, Lefi Zeh, the two Vilna Gaons are beautiful. Now, we can go one step further. Says the Beis HaLevi, "Ubazen nicha hadi'isa bebrachas daf memtes." Says the Beis HaLevi, now I want to answer up a Gemara in brachas daf memtes. The Gemara says, "The ka'amar rav the bedoy hisker Torah bebrachas amazon." If you did not mention Torah in the second in the benching, yotza, referring to women. Why? Because women don't have Torah. The hiksha hamagen avram b'simukov peizayin da b'mitzvah shemuchuyeves b'em tzvicha lilmoid. What's he talking about? Let's take a look at number 17. The Mechaber writes in number 17, Imloy hiska bebrichas ha'aretz. If he did not mention in brichas ha'aretz, either bris, brichas ha'aretz, bris, v'tayra, if he left out either the mention of the bris that we have with that bris, or tayra, afilu imloy chaser ela echad mehem, even if you only left out one of them, machzir no maysa, you have to repeat the benching. Says the Ramah, v'noshim v'avodim lo yoyimru bris v'tayra. But women don't say not bris and not teira. They know shem lav b'nei bris ninu. Women don't get brises. V'avodim lav b'nei teira ninu. And avodim are not shaykh to teira. 1 second. Are women shaykh to teira? I thought women are shaykh. Didn't the Ramah tell me in Yeridea women have a chiyuv to learn teira? The answer is no. The Ramah never told me women have a chiyuv to learn teira. Women are completely pater from teira. So why did the Ramah say over there women have to learn Torah? They don't have to learn Torah. They have to know how to do mitzvahs. But it's not in the Chiyuv Talmud Torah. So if it's not in the realm of Chiyuv Talmud Torah, so women are really technically mufkan from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's why women don't mention in the benching the concept of Torah, because they are not mechuyev in Torah. So the Chiyuv, the two Ramahs...
According to this approach, why do they have to make Birchas HaTorah then?
Yes. So the only thing that was still shver is Lefizeh, Birchas HaTorah is a problem. Good. That's what we're going to get to in the end of the shir. But I want to just make the two Vilna Gaons work with each other and the two Ramahs work with each other so far. Now,
what about if a man learns only like a woman? In other words, he doesn't do any limud. He just learns. What's the halacha?
So it doesn't matter, because be'etzim, he has a mitzvah to learn kala Torah kula.
But it's not a mitzvah, of limud Torah anymore.
No, it is. Because a man's mitzvah is all encompassing. He has a mitzvah to learn everything. So when he happens to be learning halacha l'maaseh, he's also learning Torah.
But the way he's learning it is different than the way she's learning it. he has to learn it with whatever, limud, whatever that...
No. All the Beis HaLevi's pointing out is that men have a general mitzvah to learn Torah. All parts of Torah and all segments of Torah. Women don't have that. They have no chiyuv Talmud Torah. They merely have a chiyuv to know what to do. And that's not Talmud Torah. That's a chiyuv to know what to do.
So a man doesn't have a chiv to know what to do? Of course he does.
We'll see. Beis HaLevi, that's why I put down two pieces of Beis HaLevi. Let's see number 16 in the Beis HaLevi. This is the Beis HaLevi in his Hakdoma to the Beis HaLevi. Says the Beis HaLevi, now, every good brisker is going to obviously have two dinim involved. So that's what the Beis HaLevi is going to point out, that there's two dinim in a man's mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And this is really a nice vort for Shavuos. Said the Beis HaLevi.
By the way, Rabbi, yes. I don't understand. We asked before about making the bracha. Why is the bracha, I think, like it was also mentioned before, why is that such a difficult thing? Why is that any different than lulav, sukkah, or everything else?
Because the Mechaber paskins, women can't, because Mechaber himself and the Rambam, both paskin women don't make brachas on things they're not obligated in. So if a lady is not obligated in Torah, so how can she justify brachas at Torah?
One thing, so according to the Rambam and Mechaber, they don't make a bracha on sukkah and lulav either?
That's correct. So the easy answer is the famous Biskarov. Biskarov's Torah is that it's not a bracha on the mitzvah, it's a bracha on the chetzah. Whatever. We've spoken about this so many times, we even put it down in the Mamakrams. But we'll see today a new pshat from Reb Simcha Elberg. Has anyone ever heard of Reb Simcha Elberg?
Yes. He used to write the Yiddish Allgemeiner Journal or something. He was the president of it.
He was the president of a couple of things, but he used to be the president of the Pardes. The editor of Hapardes.
Yeah. He was a big Talmud.
The Talmud movie. He got smicha from Menachem Zembel. We'll talk about his pshat. His pshat will answer this kasha that everyone's bothered with. But again, the easy answer is the famous Biskarov that, the Reb Chaim says, it's not a mitzvah. The bracha is not a reflection of the mitzvah. The bracha is a reflection of the Torah itself. But before we get to that, there's some other issues we need to work out. That would be too quick to end this year. Okay. So now, Zakti Beis HaLevi is Akdoma to Beis HaLevi, number 16. Zakti Beis HaLevi, Yadua Delimar HaTorah Hi Mishnei Ponim. There's two parts. We'll make it more lomdish. There's two dinim in Limud HaTorah. Echad, kedei liyeda eich, heich u'ma lasis. First part is, you have to know what to do. Vim lo yilmad eich yikayim. And if you don't learn, how are you going to know what to do? V'lo yamar et chasid. Mishnah novus. V'lo yamar et chasid. V'gam anoshim she'enim mechuyovim b'limud HaTorah. Even though women don't have a mitzvah Talmud Torah. Mikomokim mechuyevus luma b'mitzvah sanayegas behen. They have to learn that they need to know what to do. U'kamay di'isa b'beis yosef simem zayim b'shem arekeach. But women have another mila, right? Which sounds like maybe according to the Beis HaLevi, that alone would justify why a lady can make a bracha. That's by ladies. By women, the learning is just to get you to know how to do it. It's not a means unto itself. However, when it comes to a man, the limud itself has a purpose to itself. It's the mitzvah of learning Torah. Like tefillin. There's two different ideas. So he writes this. He says, "Muvel mitzvahs v'gam tachlis b'fnei atzma." So he says, basically, when a man learns Torah, he has two elements to Torah. There's the mitzvah of knowing how to do mitzvahs, and there's a mitzvah l'chshla atzma. You could pshetel, maybe according to the Beis HaLevi, then it's muvel why brachas haTorah has two brachas to it. Maybe one bracha is to correspond to the mitzvah of the limud b'fnei atzmoi, and one is the bracha on the how to do the mitzvahs. But that's for a different time. And then he goes weiter and he says, "V'hinei." He's bothered with the kasha of what was Nasa V'Nishma all about? As we come to the Yom Tov of Shavuos, we can talk about this now. What was the whole Nasa V'Nishma statement? He says, "V'hinei imayu oimim Yisrael Nishma V'Nasa." If Klai Yisrael would have first said Nishma, let us hear, and then we will do. Lo'ihayu b'mashmois kabaltim rak oil mitzvahs. Then all they were basically saying is we're going to do mitzvahs. Eloshu mechrach alumad kaidim gudeshiyedu achlasis. Meaning then the whole Limud HaTorah would just be in connection to know how to do. Meaning, we're ready to do the mitzvahs, but practically, if we don't know how to do the mitzvahs, we're going to have to learn Torah. But it's all about the mitzvahs. Our Limud HaTorah would all be secondary to the mitzvahs. He says, but now, v'achach nishma, v'nimtza d'havi nishma tachlis mitzad atzmoy gam kein. The gam shal yitzvichu lulma mishum asiyo, gam kein yilmudu mitzad atzmoy. But said basically, when we went and we said nasa first, then nishma, it means we're going to learn Torah independently. He explains. Even if I don't need to learn to know what to do, gam ken yilmadu mitzaratzmoi. V'nimsa de'aite hakdomo nase beiz kabbalah shel tachlisim. By saying nase first, we made two exceptions. One was al mitzvahs v'ol Torah. V'zehu sh'omu b'shar shekdimu. That's what it meant when I said we went earlier. V'avei beiz kloa kabbalah. So we accepted two things, ol mitzvahs v'ol Torah. So zokte beis alevi, that was the two things. One was we were makabel to learn Torah independently of mitzvahs. We're going to learn Reb Chaim's and we're going to learn Reb Shimon's and we're going to learn things that have no sheiches halacha l'maisa. There's another thing. We're accepting the mitzvahs and mainly we're going to have to learn Hilcha Shabbos and Hilcha Bas Bechov to know how to be Jewish. But Zokta Beis HaLevi, they're two independent, not connected mitzvahs. So if you accept the Beis HaLevi's Yisoid, the Beis HaLevi's Yisoid is that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah for a man is twofold and for a lady is perhaps only onefold, and that onefold is merely a Hechsha mitzvah in Kima mitzvah. Lefize, we might be able to explain a very difficult Gemara in Shabbos, number 19. This Gemara is quoted by the Chida. The Gemara is discussing in Shabbos, why did the world have an ailment called Askara? Askara was a horrific throat, stomach ailment, where basically people die from strangulation. And the Gemara is trying to figure out, why did Askara come to the world? So the Gemara first suggests, right? So back then also they used to try to figure out why things happened to the world. The difference was they were tanoim and we are merely amateurs trying to guess why things happened to the world. So the Gemara has a whole discussion over number 19 in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel Beis. Why exactly do these things happen? So one of the Gemara thinks because they ate not kosher food, but we're going to pick it up from the third line in. The Gemara says, very important Gemara, the Gemara says, Nana Reb Shimon Vo'imer Ba'avoyim Bittul Torah. Do you know why people die from Askara? Because they're Mevatel Torah. So Amru lo, Noshim Yechichu. Fighting my, what about women? Why should women die? It's like Rashi, 20. Noshim Yechichu. She'ena mitzuvas al divrei Torah. They don't have to learn Torah. Dichsiv, l'matem oisim es b'nechem. V'loi b'nei seichem. U'meses be'askara. They also die from askara. Why should they die from askara? They don't have a mitzvah Talmud Torah. So after the Gemara, she'mevatlois es ba'leihem. You know why they get in trouble? Because they were mevatah their husbands. They kept on annoying their husbands when the husbands just wanted to learn, and for that they deserve askara. What's the obvious kasha of this Gemara? According to what we've been saying till now, why can't you just say that women have a chiyuv Talmud Torah? They weren't learning the mitzvahs they needed to know. They weren't mevatel the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. They have a mitzvah Talmud Torah, albeit on a smaller scale, to learn whatever they need to learn, and they weren't doing it. They were not showing up to class when they were supposed to be learning Hilchos Motzah. Why is that not the answer? The Teretz is according to the Beis HaLevi, because there's never a chiyuv Talmud Torah. They're never mechoyiv to learn Torah. All they're mechoyiv in is to know what to do. That's not bittul Torah. Bittul Torah is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Women don't have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. I didn't add this onto the pages because I did not add it to the pages. But I'm just going to read to you a Gemara in Brachas, and then we'll come back to one last pshat. There's a famous Gemara in Brachas.
The minyan mitzvahs, or the check you get upstairs. What do the women get? Or they're learning.
That's what I want to talk about right now. So there's a Gemara, there's a beautiful, so there's a Gemara in Brachas, Daf Yizayin with Beis. I spoke about it in the Yizayin Amanaf. I spoke about it in the Chumash a little bit, but I urge you all to look it up. The Gemara over there writes that women get a larger reward in the next world than men do for Torah. So obviously that's against everything we've been saying till now. So the Netziv writes over there, the Meremi Asad, the Netziv says, women get a larger chelik in Torah than men do for the obvious reason. Because when a lady is moisa nefesh for her husband to go learn, and the husband goes out to the shir and he sleeps through half of the shir, so he gets schar for the 30 minutes he learned, the 30 minutes he sleeps he gets no reward. But the lady who pushed herself to get the husband out of the house, who was moisa nefesh to do this, she gets learning for the whole time. But then the Gemara says another phrase. Says the Gemara, Noshim b'may kozachin, what's chos the women have? So the Gemara answers, the schus that they get their children off in the morning and they get the husbands to learn, that's the schus that they have. So frekt all the achrenim, Pnei Yeshua, the Chavetz Chaim, Chaim Shul Levitz, one of the sichas asks this kasha, what do you mean, nosh m'may kazachye? They keep mitzvah sasei shalei hazman grama, they keep loy sasays, they're firmer than most of our men. What do you mean, what schus do they have? What type of kasha is that, what schus do women have? So the Pnei Yeshua says, the Pnei Yeshua says pshat, which I was going to put down, but Ayin Sham, take a look at the Pnei Yeshua's pshat. But Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz asks the same kasha. He says, I don't understand. What do you mean, what's chus the women have? Women have chus in that they keep every loy sase, they keep every non-zman grama. Says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, a beautiful you say. He says, no, the Gemara's kasha was, what shaykhs do they have to Torah? Every Jew needs to have a chus in Torah, And the Gemara's question is, what chus Torah do they have? And for the Gemara, by helping their children and husbands get to shul. So I have the same question.
So according to this, he explains why women would make the Birchas HaTorah, because even if they don't have their own independent Mitzvah of Talmud Torah, they have a Shaifas to Torah.
Very good.
It's like a blind person says,
very good. The truth is,
the woman
would say that's a shtick like Reb Shach wants to say, and I left that out because Reb Shach, on page 2, seems to be saying something along your lines. That since they have Epes HaShaychis to Torah, they could still say Vitzivonu. But I wanted to tie into this.
Like
so that's the kasha. What happened to being an Eidem Mitzvah Oisa? So.
Right, that's the category.
Right.
So according to the Rambam and the
Mechazim, you can't make a bracha on Eidem Mitzvah Oisa. But I want to tell you that this Gemara is another ride to the Beis Halevi. What's the Gemara asking? What's chus the women have in Torah? I don't get the kasha. According to the Ramah and Yeridea, they have a chus in Torah to learn all the things they need to learn. What's the Gemara asking? The Teretz is weiter. This Gemara is assuming like the Beis Halevi, that even the things that they have to learn is not begeder Talmud Torah. It's not that category called Talmud Torah. It's begeder Kima Mitzvahs. And the Gemara's kasha is, how can a lady find a way to have a chus Talmud Torah? What do you mean? When she goes every day to school and learns Muktzah and learns Bishul, that's not Talmud Torah? The answer is no, according to Beis Halevi. That's merely the mitzvah of Hechsher Kima Mitzvah. So, Frank the Gemara, how do women have a Shaychus to the mitzvah of Torah? The only way they can do that is by helping their husbands or by helping their children. Okay, I think this Gemara is Nacharaya to the Yisoid of the Beis Halevi. Now, the question that everyone's still bothered with is, so how do women make a Bracha Bechas HaTorah? So I found this Pshat. Not even there. We still have more pages. I skipped the page. Rabbi said we have page 3 to see first. Okay, let's go to page 3 for a second. Rav Asher Weiss and Minchas Asher.
A pshat that kind of splits the difference. Meaning, the word l'shmoa that made me think of like by Mikra Megillah, where women
it's a different chiyuv
l'shmoa,
like the Bahag.
Their chiyuv of Megillah is from Afei Chayros Hanei.
Correct.
They have a chiyuv of Megillah, but it's different than a man. So
right.
The same thing by Talmud Torah. They have a chiyuv of Talmud Torah, but it's qualitatively different. And maybe it's not enough that you would make a bracha.
And Achram,
you say it's enough that you would make a bracha. You say either way.
Right, it could be the base of Levi's diak is not a diak. I mean, you want to say that the Ramah, when he says that women are chayiv, it's a different chiyuv than men. It's more limited, and that's why he just says l'shmaya versus lumud.
But it's not just a mini version of a man's. It's
different.
It's
a fundamental different chiyuv, right? It's a whole different chiyuv. I agree. I think that's a valid pshat. And the base of Levi didn't go that way, but I think you could say such a pshat as well. Reb Asher Weiss and Minchas Asher Parshas Azinu wants to suggest something interesting. He wants to suggest that the machloek is mechabin Ramah. In Simon Mem Zayin. Again, the Machabe said women make Birchas HaTorah, the Vilna Gaon said they don't. So Rav Asher Weiss wants to suggest that Machloikis is totally not so much in the way we're learning it, that it's totally in whether or not women have a real Chiyuv Talmud Torah or not. He wants to suggest it's totally in is the Chiyuv, is Birchas HaTorah, Birchas HaMitzvah or not. If you hold it to Birchas HaMitzvah, so then the girl is right. Women are not Machoyiv in the Mitzvah, they can't make Birchas HaTorah. But if you hold it's what we call the Birchas HaShevach, it's merely a thanks, Takalish Baruch, like Reb Chaim says. It's a thanking for giving us this Chefs Shel Torah. So then the Machab is right, that even if you're not Mitzvah, you could still make the Bracha. That's the way Rav Asher Weiss wanted to learn Pshat of the Machlokes Mechaber and the Vilna Gaon. We're not going to get to it inside, but I urge you all to read the Divrei Yoel. The Satmar Rebbe has a very nice Shtickle Torah over here in the Sefer, how he wants to be Masber, these Rishonim that hold that a lady can make Brachas HaTorah, even though she's not Mechoyiv in the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Again, but I just want to point out the Shagas Aryeh. The Shagasari has an interesting shiloh over. He wants to know, are women mechuyev in the midst of writing a Sefer Torah? And look like the Shagasari, are women mechuyev in the midst of writing a Sefer Torah? What are the tzadim? So he starts off like this. The Hoye Shloimah, number 23. The Hoye Shloimah, the Avagav, the Noshe, Pturus, Metamot Torah. On one hand, you'll say the part from learning. Mikomok, a mitzvah, Ksiva, Sefer Torah, La, Betamot Torah, tell you. Maybe the midst of writing a Sefer Torah is not telling the midst of learning Torah. The Trey, Milin, Ninagla, Shaychia, Dodiklo. They're not telling Zebazah. So initially starts off the Shagasaya assuming that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sevetera, the mitzvah of Lima Torah are independent. Fine. And then he writes, Va'afilu fima demashma l'chayim medivei rosh de'ika mitzvah Ksiva Sevetera u'mishum k'tei l'lumay bo. And even if you want to tell me, not like that, you want to tell me like the Rosh says, that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sevetera is really all about learning Torah, says the Shagasaya, big deal. Mikol makoim. Ha'kosu rabbi said the notion of rechaz b'chaz ha'Torah. That women are mechuyev to learn the things that they need to know. So argues the Shagas Aryeh that avadalei should be chayev to write a Sefer Torah. Even if you hold that women are mechuyev, even if you hold that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is totally the mitzvah of Liman HaTorah, women are mechuyev in Liman HaTorah. Why? And he quotes our smag. So what do you see from the Shagas Aryeh? He did not learn like the Beis Halevi. If the Shagasaya learned like the Beis HaLevi, that the fact that women learn Torah, the things that they need to know, it's bechlal not at all reflective of their mitzvah and Talmud Torah. Here you see from the Shagasaya seems to assume not like that. The Shagasaya seems to assume that if you hold that women are mechuyev in dinim hashayichim lahem, that somehow is reflective of them being mechuyev in Talmud Torah. And he argues that mechuyev in Talmud Torah, they then should be mechuyev in the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah. So at least the machloekes achroin between the Beis HaLevi and the Shagasaya, how to understand the women's role in this mitzvah. Okay, now the last piece is, if you assume all like this, so everyone is still bothered with the kasha, what about Birchas HaTorah? Why do women make Birchas HaTorah? So I found from Reb Simcha Elberg, who was a Choshev Yid, Simcha Elberg died not so long ago. He died in 1995, I believe. He died in 1995. One of Reb Simcha Elberg's great additions to the world was Coca-Cola. He was the one for Pesach.
It was only Pesach.
I was going to get to that, Michael. You cut me off. Reb Simcha Elberg. Reb Simcha Elberg. There's a time delay over here. Reb Simcha Elberg was very involved in helping ensure that Klai Yisrael got hashkach of a Coca-Cola for Pesach. So all of us that enjoy Coca-Cola on Pesach owe it to Reb Simcha Elberg for doing so. Reb Simcha Elberg got smicha from Reb Nachum Zemba. He grew up in Warsaw, where Reb Nachum Zemba lived. He got smicha from Reb Nachum Zemba. He survived the war. He ended up in Paris. All story about his life. He ended up coming to America. He was the chairman of the Union of Orthodox Rabbis. He was the editor of Hapardes. And he wrote a couple of svarim. His svarim have very glowing haskamas from Reb Moshe, from other gedolim of that time. And he wants to tell
me, Rabbi, you could add one more thing since you said in your chumash, I think he was from the few people that was on the OU and the Aguda at the same time.
Oh, really? So that's correct. He was the chairman of the Aguda.
Separate guidelines.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me. He was the chairman of the Aguda as well. Also, yes. Thank you for reminding me. Correct. He was able to live in both worlds. So he was a special yid. So he writes the following one of his svarim, Shalmei Simcha. It was one of the svarim he wrote. He writes a Gavaldik Yisait. When I first read it, I gave a shtickle chuckle, and I wasn't sure who the author of the sefer was, so I decided to learn up who the author was. Then when I saw it was Taka Choshev Yid, so I didn't chuckle so much. But he writes like this. He wants to answer up the million-dollar kasha. The million-dollar kasha is, if you assume that women are potter from the midst of Talmud Torah, if you assume that it's all like the Beis HaLevi says, it's merely just Hechsher Lekim HaMitzvah, so why do they make Birchas HaTorah? So Zog Reb Simcha Elberg like this, not 25. It's not a kim on the mitzvah. It's on the fact of learning. You don't even have an obligation to do this. Unbelievable. Says Reb Simcha Elberg, it's like a brachas hanenin. Every time you sit down to learn, you get a geshmak out of it. To believe in HaTorah, Odom is ani tanug ruchani. You have a spiritual benefit. Tanug nishmasi, your neshama. Right, so you can imagine why when you're reading this, you're starting to say to yourself, like it sounds a little, not necessarily practical. Vareze b'chol b'chas hanenin. Says Reb Simcha Elberg, it's like every b'chas hanenin, the mevarach lefanei, you make before it. The pleasure doesn't come from the fact that it's a mitzvah. The pleasure is because Torah is geshmak. Even if it wouldn't be a mitzvah. Even if I'm not obligated. I get a geshmak. Learning itself is pleasurable. It's not a kiyam ha-mitzvah like Rabbi Shavuot wanted to suggest. It's mamash just a bracha on about to get a geshmak. Now, this is a big mutzah. The famous Igle Tal in his introduction, right? We've mentioned many times, Igle Tal in his introduction writes that if a person thinks Torah Lishma means you have to not enjoy it, Chas V'Shalom, Torah Lishma means you're supposed to enjoy every second of it. So says Reb Simcha Elberg, Mishum Hachi Gam B'Noshim, Avada the part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but the brach is not reflective of the tzivah, the brach is reflective of the hana. And the women also get hana when they learn Torah.
Why do you have to go to Nenin? Why can't you just say that they're
bank lahodah? I mean, that's Reb Chaim's shot. He calls Reb Chaim. He calls the famous Reb Chaim that says that's like something along those lines. But he brings a couple of interesting rayas. Very interesting rayas. He writes in number 26, Lefiza Nir Loima. Unbelievable. Birchas HaTorah is not a Birchas HaMitzvah. It's merely a Birchas HaNenin. So if all those kids are sitting through class, can't stand the word that the Rebbe is teaching them, They still have to make brichas atayr. Okay. I fact Reb Simcha Elberg v'alti shiveni. Don't ask me. Heichem etzino brichas anen al hanor kezu. Where do you ever find such a pleasure? Shalimut tayr he rak anos ruchonis. It's spiritual. Where's the physical pleasure? Shaneshama nene v'loy haguf. Where do you find such a bracha? He says it's not true. What's the raya? Reyach. Says Reb Simcha Elberg reyach. You make a bracha on smell. Who benefits smell? So he quotes from a Gemara. The Gemara says, "Shenemar kol anashama talukah ezu dover shanashama nenim menu vein aguf nenim menu." How reyom is a reyach? Reyach is the soul, not the body. So therefore, says Reb Simcha Elberg here also, the soul and not the body is Torah, and therefore you can make the brach. Now he has
what one. Does it do with the
I'm sorry.
You can make a bracha on playing basketball because it's anah.
Yeah. So this is
how do you get anah?
So this is where things get to go complicated. What gets a bracha? One doesn't get a bracha. Even in reyach, a reyach sheyesh b'mamoshes versus a reyach sheyesh b'mamoshes is not so poshut, right? Not everything gets a not everything that's geshmak gets a bracha. So again, it's a that's why I thought it was a big chiddush what he's suggesting, that we're going to open up, broaden the horizon to all types of hana. But just he has a raya.
What about Asher Kiddushanam v'soz v'tzur alasuk v'duri Torah? Hard to say that's a brechas anenin.
So he talks about it in the piece. I didn't photocopy the whole shtickle, but if you can get your hands on the Sefer Shalmei Simcha, he bavones the kasha of how does lasik fit into those words. He talks about it. It's a good aura. Lasik sounds like the toiling of it, not necessarily, it sounds like a deeper level. But he has a shtaka raya from a levush. He calls it number 27, the levush. The levush writes that before you start to learn, you make brechas atayroh, you have to show that the Torah is valuable, and you're getting pleasure. Like you make a bracha on all forms of pleasure. So Zokter Simcha Elberg, you see, Mefurish. Okay, so if you accept the Simcha Elberg's notion, it answers up the kasha that the brichas at Torah for Noshim is not begeder mitzvah, but it's begeder hana. So he ends off the piece with a gevaldik kasha. So why is there no bracha achrein in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Every brichas anenin has a bracha
rishayim. Oh,
it's just like raya. Zog there, number 28. The Torah teitun a bracha lachreya. Kivin the leshayich begabi Torah kadei sviya. You never filled up. The Talmud Adam ain't a sviya b'Torah. You never satiated with Torah. You always want more. The ain lomad kadei sviya. There's no way to stay in lomad. No one could say I learned enough. K'may shemin is oichak kadei sviya. We always say I can't eat anymore. You can never say I learned enough. Lehepach. The more you learn, the more you're thirsty for Torah. So Zogtim Simcha Elberg, that's why there's a bracha Rishayna, no bracha Achrayna. Halavai! We should all be zeichet to learn Torah in a way that we're always wanting more, always thirsty for more. And more than anything, I think it's a beautiful Musar Haskell, take us to the Yom Tov Shavuos, that we should look at Torah as something that we enjoy, we love, we get a geshmak out of it. It's the greatest pleasure in this world. Wishing everyone a wonderful Yom Tov. We should all have a wonderful Kabbalah Satera, albeit separately, but together, the learning that we do here in other venues should be a schus for ourselves and for our families. Wishing everyone a very, very wonderful Yom Tov. Yom Tov, everyone, we'll be back here. Amir Tashem, Tuesday night, we'll be here. We'll be here Tuesday night discussing how early can you make Shavuos, and then Amir Tashem will be back here next Sunday going back to the Sugya of Mila. So Amir Tashem, this Tuesday, we'll talk about early Shavuos. You don't want to miss it. The Mitzvah Shem will discuss how early you can make Shavuos. And the next Sunday, Mitzvah Shem will be back to regular Ablaz of the Mila. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful week.
Rabbi, you're going to be discussing the second night also, how early you can make Shavuos?
Yes, yes. Shecht is Psak that came out. Yeah, Mitzvah Shem.
Okay.
And we'll talk about when can women light candles as well for Shavuos. It's a little bit more complicated, so you don't want to miss it. Okay,
right. Mitzvah Shem. And am I correct also, tomorrow there's no Tachanun because of Yom HaMiyuchas?
Tomorrow there's no Tachanun. Tomorrow is not right. There are more rights in Shulchan Aruch. There are more rights in Shulchan Aruch that after Rosh Chodesh is no tachan until after Isruchak. That's correct.
Right. Okay. Just want to make sure. Thanks. Yes.
Very good, everyone. Have a wonderful week, and stay
you.
Safe
have
and be well.
Day.
Thank you.
Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. A mama wants you something.